Now wailing in fear, we rowed on up those straits, Scylla to starboard, dreaded Charybdis off to port, her horrible whirlpool gulping the sea-surge down, down, but when she spewed it up, like a cauldron over a raging fire, all her churning depths would seethe and heave, exploding spray, showering down to spatter the peaks of both crags at once. But when she swallowed the sea-surge down her gaping maw, the whole abyss lay bare, and the rocks around her roared, terrible, deafening. Bedrock showed down deep, boiling black with sand, and ashen terror gripped the men. But now, fearing death, all eyes fixed on Charybdis, now Scylla snatched 6 men from our hollow ship, the toughest, strongest hands I had, and glancing backward over the deck, searching for my crew, I could see their hands and feet already hoisted, flailing high, higher over my head. Look, wailing down at me, comrades riven in agony, shrieking out my name for one last time. Just as an angler poised on a jutting rock flings his treacherous bait in the offshore swell, whips his long rod, hook-sheathed in an ox-horn lure, and whisks up little fish he flips on the beach break, writhing, gasping out their lives, so now they writhed, gasping as Scylla swung them up her cliff, and there, at her cavern's mouth, she bolted them down raw, screaming out, flinging their arms toward me, lost in that mortal struggle. Of all the pitiful things I've had to witness, suffering, searching out the pathways of the sea, this wrenched my heart the most. But now, at last, putting the rocks, Scylla, and dreaded Charybdis far astern, we quickly reach the good green island of the sun, where Helios, Lord Hyperion, keeps his fine cattle, broad in the brow, and flocks of purebred sheep. Still aboard my black ship in the open sea, I could hear the lowing cattle driven home, the bleating sheep. And I was struck once more by the words of the blind Theban prophet Tiresias, and Aeaean Circe too. Time and again they told me to shun this island of the sun, the joy of man. So I warned my shipmates gravely, sick at heart, "Listen to me, my comrades, brothers in hardship. Let me tell you the dire prophecies of Tiresias, and Aeaean Circe too. Time and again they told me to shun this island of the sun, the joy of man. Here they warned the worst disaster awaits us. Row straight past these shores, race our black ship on." So I said, and the warnings broke their hearts. But Eurylochus waded in at once with mutiny on his mind. "You're a hard man, Odysseus. Your fighting spirit's stronger than ours. Your stamina never fails. You must be made of iron, head to foot. Look, your crew's half dead with labor, starved for sleep. And you forbid us to set foot on land, this island here washed by the waves, where we might catch a decent meal again? Drained as we are, night falling fast, you'd have us desert this haven and blunder off into the mist-bound seas? Out of the night come winds that shatter vessels. How can a man escape his headlong death if suddenly, out of nowhere, a cyclone hits, bred by the south or stormy west wind? There the gales that tear the ship to splinters. The gods are masters, willing or not, it seems. No, let's give way to the dark night. Set out our supper here. Sit tight by our swift ship, and then at daybreak board and launch her, make for open sea." So Eurylochus urged, and shipmates cheered. Then I knew some power was brewing trouble for us, so I let fly with an anxious plea. "Eurylochus, I'm one against all. The upper hand is yours, but swear me a binding oath, all here, that if we come on a herd of cattle or fine flock of sheep, not one man among us, blind in his reckless ways, will slaughter an ox or ram. Just eat in peace, content with the food immortal Circe gave us." They quickly swore the oath that I required, and once they had vowed they'd never harm the herds, they moored our sturdy ship in the deep, narrow harbour close to a fresh spring, and all hands disembarked and adeptly set.